Hi, everybody. It's Anuheya.
Hi, everybody. It's Nikki.
And this is
Junk Drawer Podcast.
Yay. We almost said it together today, Nikki.
Yeah.
And oh, we have a guest today.
Also,
somebody actually, you know, cares about us, wants to be on today. We're not forever alone like last week. Welcome to the metaphorical podcast stage, Andy King.
Hi. Actually, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. You were right. I think I'm in the wrong call. So I don't know if I actually am your guest.
Oh, so
today.
You're leaving.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a great thing you got going on, though. I love the setup. You know, both seem like very nice folks. So, you know, I'll let you go on with your day. And, you know. All right, cool.
Oh, God. This isn't even the first time this has happened. This is so embarrassing.
Is it really? Am I not the first person to do that joke?
It's like people think that they're invited to, like, Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel or something like that. Like, their YouTube agent will, like, hit them up and be like, hey, I got this really sick, like, spot for you on the show. And then they show up and then they're like, oh.
We're kind of like the podcast equivalent of the Eric Andre show. A lot of people come onto this thing and they go, I hate this.
What am I doing here?
And you tricked me.
We do, like, a lot of, like gags where we, like, tickle your butt in a chair. And
I was actually, yeah, I was just about to ask if I should, like, watch my ass or anything. Like, is something going to explode behind me?
Well, if you look under your bed, you'll see that there is a bomb.
I don't see a bomb, but I do see a couple live animals in a cage.
Oh, well, Nikki, you were supposed to, you switched. That was for next week. I don't really know.
Oh, my God.
They're getting a little bit feisty. I need them to calm down. They're barking and meowing and sniffing. Those
are the
three noises.
What kind of animal is it?
An animal.
Oh, okay. Well, I told Nikki to book peacocks for the next week's guest, but...
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a peacock before, but I don't think this is it.
I mean, let's just leave the animals undisclosed.
Let's leave the animals be, yeah, you know, That's for later.
Well, anyway, thank you for being here, Andy. Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Tell the people what you're up to.
Yeah, sure. Hey, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on, New York City? My name is Andy King. You know, you might know me from TikTok as Mud Consumer, doing some really weird stuff. But you'll probably notice that I've weaned off of that recently. Now I'm making YouTube videos on the YouTube channel, Andy King.
Yes.
Wow, so I noticed you said you've been weaning off of TikTok. Have you been having any withdrawals?
In what way?
Are you shaking? Are you shitting?
Yes.
Are you puking?
Yes. Are you crying incessantly?
Honestly, no. I'm just kind of feeling my serotonin levels go back up, and you know, that's always a plus. But
okay, great.
You know, so good riddance to that. You know what I mean?
Do you want to know something funny?
Yes.
What's up?
The internet, and mainly the male demographic on the internet, I suppose are also fans of you, and we've talked about this slightly, but I want to bring it up on record. They think I'm copying you. They thought I was copying you. They think that I'm plagiarizing the Mud brand. Since the very beginning of when I started doing stuff on the internet, I had like a girl facts thing that I would do, and people would go, Mud? Girl version of Mud?
Oh, of course.
Why are you copying Mud?
Classic male move.
Isn't that so funny? I just think it's funny. I also think it's funny because they're kind of right with, like, our looks. Like, I do feel like we look alike.
Dude.
Yeah. I will say, though, that is really one annoying thing is, like, still to this day, I'll like, open up TikTok and go to my mentions and be tagged in some, like, here's five facts you didn't know about the ocean. And it's just some guy who has, like, brown hair and glasses. And they're like, Mud, is this you? And I'm like, no. Of course. Literally not at all.
That's funny.
Thanks for the ocean facts.
Wow. Well, I must say, before I even met you or followed you or anything, I had gotten a glimpse of you on TikTok, and I ran to Anuheya, and I was like, this dude looks just like you.
Yeah. Like, we have, like, the same personality. And, like,
yeah, I was like, who is this guy?
Are they related? No.
God, no, we're internet, just both white and we have brown hair.
The internet is so stupid in that sense. They have the dumbest questions of all time. You could literally post a TikTok saying, "Hi, my name is Andrew King," and they'd be like, "What's his name, guys?" Really?
Literally.
You know what I mean? They're actually so stupid. So stupid.
Yeah,
so
sorry, while we're on this subject, me and Anu were talking about this a couple days ago, too. I get so pissed off and annoyed whenever somebody says that somebody else is the Walmart version of whoever. Oh. Because it's like, everybody's on the fucking internet. Of course some people are going to look alike. Like, shut the fuck up.
I know. The Harry Potter shit, like, come on. Are you kidding? Like, that almost actually, I never got upset about comments or, like, I've never had to ban words or anything like that, but I got really, really close with Harry Potter. And LeBron. Yeah. The LeBron thing, too. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Harry Potter, that's funny. I actually dressed as Harry Potter when I was 7, so...
Oh.
That was like,
oh my
thing.
God.
It was like my,
oh my God.
Thing.
You must be Daniel Radcliffe then, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And when Nikki came to me and was like, "Look at this person." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." Nikki was like, "Yeah, you look just like him." And I was like, "So true." And then I was like, "Actually, I am striving to be the Walmart version of Andy." So essentially, I opened with being like, "Oh, people like to say I'm copying you, but really that is my brand. I was lying."
Take it from me, please. I can't do it anymore. In fact, it's become increasingly like I can't post anymore, really, because I just hate the comments. Like, the comments.
Oh my God.
Feel it.
I
feel it so hard.
I mean, the comments that I used to get when I was making those like videos in the dark were like, "Oh my God, where is Spaghetti Jackson from Wiggly Wiggly Town? What's he doing?" And now it's like, "Oh my God, this is so hot." I'm like, "Leave me alone. Leave me alone, please."
Yeah,
stop.
I feel that so heavy. That's so funny that your comment section sounds like mine.
Dude, you guys are brothers.
Now I just respond to all the comments and I say that I'm only making the videos for my girlfriend, which is true. I'm a loyal bae.
Well, I'm making the videos for my girlfriend. She's imaginary, but
oh, you were telling me about her.
Yeah, her name is Priscinda.
Priscinda.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, cool.
She has
a
really big butt.
Wait.
Oh.
Wait, so she lives in imaginary? I've heard of that. That's like in Wisconsin, right?
Totally. Yeah. And not in my head.
No. Why would it be in your head?
Before we started recording, I texted our group chat because we always make a little group chat with the creator we're going to be talking to that day. So you're not special, Andy. You're not
no,
family
okay.
group
no,
chat.
No, no, it's okay. Like, I wasn't expecting anything or like, it's
he's
just,
crying.
It's,
let's address that.
In our group chat, I was like, let's record in a second, but I got to pee first and I'm going to pee. I'm going to pee in the toilet and not in my plants because that would be weird. And I didn't pee in my plants. I peed in the toilet like everybody does. So
in your
Wait,
plants or
in your
plants?
In your plants or your pants?
Oh, I said plants.
No, you
I
said
read
pants.
Pants.
In the group message, you totally
no,
said
I
pants.
No, I said plants.
You Wait. Said pants.
Go
I'm
look.
Gonna look right now.
Oh my God, it does say plants. Oh my God.
What?
How did I miss
that? I know
that?
It's... I didn't even, like, make the connection that would make more sense. Like, why did I go an extra step?
Plants.
My God. Wow. That was...
Anyway. So, yeah. We're similar to the public eye.
Oh, totally.
You guys are similar in a lot of ways. Anuheya was actually telling me that you guys both have emetophobia, so...
Yeah.
Hello,
my chair.
Hello, germaphobe community.
Now, I don't want to go ahead and label it as that because I know some people like are actually genuinely like clinically have these phobias and things. Me. Like I don't know if I clinically have the phobia, but I have really really big issues with vomit. Like
you probably do.
I probably have a lot of undiagnosed issues, but we'll talk about that later. That's for another podcast. You know.
Let's talk about puke
seriously.
So if anybody doesn't know, emetophobia is a very it can range, you know, it's a spectrum like most things on the planet, it can range from mild to extremely severe to like completely landlocking you in your house, so to speak. And it's basically the phobia of vomit and puke. And actually, it's pretty common. A lot of people don't think it is, but it's just as common as the phobia for blood, which I don't know. It might actually be more, because a lot of people don't know what to call it because they're just very averse and they don't know that it's affecting them. But that is what it is clinically. So that's the little fun fact before we start talking about it for anybody who doesn't know. I talk about it quite often, but we haven't done a deep dive, which I think is important. Yeah. So is yours like severe? Like, what are your issues? Because then I'll say my issues.
I mean, it's like, okay, so I have this weird thing because I have really bad anxiety. So I think for me, it's kind of gone hand in hand, but like it didn't before I knew that anxiety was like a clinical thing that I had. It was more like, okay, well, at this point, I think I get like so anxious. And when I get anxious, I'm like, oh, my God, I feel so anxious, I might throw up. And then I'm like, oh, my God, but if I throw up, I'm going to throw up. And now I'm even more anxious. Mm-hmm. So like they kind of go hand in hand. So it's either I feel like I'm going to throw up and then I get super anxious, which makes me feel like I'm going to throw up more, or I just get anxious and then I equate just being anxious to throwing up, which is like, but it never happens. That's the thing. It never happens.
And at least not now. And even when the feeling of like, oh, I'm going to throw up comes, it's because you're subconsciously anxious, usually.
Convincing
like,
yourself.
Because you have tummy issues when you are an anxious person.
I just need to start gaslighting myself more, honestly.
So it has been, for me, emetophobia has been my biggest opposition, like, as people would say, op. Because, I mean, it's debilitating. Like, for me, it's ranged, actually, throughout my life. So, like, when I was a kid, I always thought it was unpleasant, right? I almost choked when I was 4. I think, like, I'm doing therapy for it now. I'm doing, like, EMDR and stuff. And I'm realizing where it came from now because it is for a lot of reasons.
Right.
But for me, it's range. So, like, it was, like, not a debilitating factor. I was still really scared when I was, like, 8 and 11. But it wasn't debilitating until I became, like, 13. When I hit puberty.
Yeah. That was when it, like, I think happened for me. I think I had one specific throw-up event that scared me for the rest of my life, I would say. Because there were plenty of times when I was a child, like, I would throw up a lot as a child. And then I had this phase, probably, like, around the beginning of high school, and I got really sick, like, for this, like, whole 2 days where I was just nonstop throwing up.
That's so scary.
And it was such a bad experience that ever since that experience, I was like, oh, my God, throwing up again would just, like, remind me of that. And if it ever happens again, I'm going to lose my mind kind of thing.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, so I learned in biology, actually. Oh, no. I think it was cognitive psychology, actually, not biology. That throwing up is actually one of the biggest, like, pairing thing when it comes to, or, like, being sick is one of the biggest pairing things when it comes to learning. So, like, you know how people say, oh, I ate shrimp, I got food poisoning, I will never eat shrimp again, I really actually can't. It's because that is one of the strongest pairs for, I don't know if it's Pavlovian, but I don't think it is, but essentially it makes sense why this phobia would occur.
Sure.
But I totally feel you on that. I think it kind of, like, it started brewing for me when I was, like, 4 because I got hospitalized because I think I had a really bad stomach bug and couldn't. I don't remember the throwing up event. I just remember going to the hospital and, like, not being able, like, passing out and stuff. I just remember being completely out of control of my body. So that's where it started for me. But then I almost choked, like, a year or two later. I almost choked on something. My mom had to make me throw up. And I'm realizing now, I always thought it was that one event when I went to the hospital because I hate hospitals.
Right.
I thought it was that. But it wasn't. Like, it wasn't that. I think it was the one where I was choking. Because now, like, if I'm, like, with a group of people and, like, somebody's throwing up, I'm scared for them because I'm like, are they choking? Like, I'm realizing now that it's because of that event. But I just totally get where you're coming from. I've thrown up. A lot of people with emetophobia haven't thrown up for, like, years and years and years.
Yeah.
I threw up last year. I got sick. And I was so, and I hadn't thrown up since I was like 15, and I was really scared during that event as well. But, oh my gosh, last year I realized how much I needed to go to therapy, because when I was faced with being sick, the lengths that my mind was willing to go to make me not be ill when I just needed to get it over with was actually so scary. Like, I've always been, I think my biggest fear is to be alone, because I don't want to harm myself or make myself pass out. Right. Because I was at the point of being like, and I hope this isn't triggering for you. A lot of people, trigger warning, a lot of people who are scared of throwing up, they can't even say the word. So I don't know if I'm triggering you.
Andy. No, I'm okay. I'm totally chilling. I have kind of like an epilogue to my sort of story that's of helped me recently. So I'm all chilling.
You're okay. Okay. Okay, good. Yeah. So when I was sick last summer, I was going through the worst time of my life too. So like that was terrible. And so it was just like compounding events, but I was like, my body was trying to make myself throw up, and I could not. Like I felt so afraid that every time I would get to that point, my body would literally be like, no. And so like I was straining. It's not that I was even like that ill. Like, I wasn't, like, going to die, but they needed, like, I literally, they had to bring me from my house to the ER because I couldn't calm down. And I was like, holy fuck. Like, I was, like, hitting things, like, trying to distract myself from, like, with other pain because I literally was
Right.
It's like in those moments, I wish I could completely dissociate from my body, but it's almost like you're brought so close into your body. It, like, sucks, but I just relate really hard. It's been one of, and I think like, so it was bad when I was 13, and then I had that event last year and I realized how bad it is. And then I started sliding back into how I was when I was 13. Like, even when I threw up when I was 15, I didn't slide back into that, like, I didn't slide back into like the behaviors of like checking food labels, not wanting to go out to eat if I haven't eaten at a place before, not wanting to go places. So now I'm kind of in this OCD-esque cycle, because this phobia often coincides with like OCD behaviors where I like don't go out. Like, it's like really bad. Like, I haven't been like this since I was like 13. And a lot of people with this phobia also have eating disorders, EDs, because they can't like eat food. And I'm starting to realize like I'm like losing weight. Like, it's really bad. Like, this shit sucks. So I don't know. That's my little spiel.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, wow. That's like, I mean, I would say, I mean, of course, like my experiences are not anywhere near, like, I think the severity of that, but like, I think it's so interesting how, you know, how you said, like, even when you threw up when you were 15, it's like you didn't fall back into that until very recently. Like, that is just, it's so weird how like our minds work, and like how one seemingly almost identical event can like have no effect one time and like every effect in the world at the other time, you know? It's insane. I'll be pretty honest. Like, I think what got me over it was after high school. I did a decent amount of throwing up in college. I mean, for various reasons. I think the last time I threw up was in like May. And yeah, I know. I threw up pretty consecutively in the spring. There was like a couple times, and they all happened the same way. It's actually funny. I have a big problem of when I throw up, I never make it to like the bathroom or a toilet.
Me too. Really?
So, like, I'll just bail and do it wherever I am. Like, no matter what I'm thinking at the time, like my first thought whenever I'm about to throw up and I'm not like, I could, like, my bathroom's right down the hall right now, but if I felt like I was about to throw up right now, I would sit here first and I would be like, what is around me right now that I could throw up in first? But then I learned that the hard way last year. In April, this was the last time I ate Chipotle. I haven't eaten it since, but I had a Chipotle burrito and I was feeling a little weird, was watching a podcast, just sitting with my roommate in my room, nothing crazy. And then I just threw up all over the floor. But I tried throwing up into like a cup first, but that, you know, of course, you know,
Yeah.
A little graphic, but, you know, you get the idea. It did not work. It did not work for too long. But yeah, I think I've got, I haven't thrown up since. So, we're on a pretty good streak, but you were saying before, like, people will take pride in like not having thrown up. There was a point in time where like I hadn't thrown up for, I think like quite a few years, like 5 years.
Yeah.
It had been a really long time since I'd thrown up. And I think it was just like kind of, it might've been like a puberty thing, like getting older, but I don't know. It was weird.
You know, something that is, I do not recommend at all, and I'm not co-signing at all, but I've heard that alcoholism, this is an interesting soundbite. I've heard that alcoholism actually has helped people with them.
Wait, okay.
I'm not advocating for this. I'm not. Yeah, but I've heard becoming drinking a lot of alcohol and kind of falling into alcoholism patterns, because I'm sorry, but college binge drinking is alcoholism. Sorry, yeah, I'm not totally going to sugarcoat it. It's not just regular drinking.
It totally is.
But I've heard that helps so many people.
I mean, I think just the feeling of being like so drunk to the point of being nauseated would probably help you get used to the general feeling of like, I'm not sure if I'm going to throw up, because like when you drink too much, it's always a hit or miss. It's either you're definitely going to throw up or you're just going to feel like shit the next morning until you either.
To what
throw
you were
up
saying you a second ago about binge drinking in college is alcoholism. Sorry. I totally agree with you. And I feel like I'm literally one of the only people I know who will fully admit that they've totally been an alcoholic in the past. Like, actually. I feel like a lot of people are just like, yeah, I just like drink every day, but I'm not like an alcoholic or anything.
I think there are certain limits to it where it's like, if you're having a glass of wine every night, I'm like, okay, I think we could maybe start to call that a high functioning alcoholism. But it's like, you know what I mean? I've known people who have had, you know, they're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have like two or three beers, but that turns into every single night. And it's like, yeah, that's alcoholism. And I think college has so much security that it's just like a fucking excuse, you know?
Yeah, and we call stoners who smoke every day stoners.
But that's the thing, is I had a problem with like weed in college, where I was smoking way too much, like a couple years ago, and I like majorly had to cut back on that. Like, I still use weed, you know, don't get me wrong, shit's great. But I think there's a limit to everything. You know, they say, oh, you can't necessarily get addicted to this, like it's called dependency, but it's like at the end of the day, you know, it's all linked.
You can totally get addicted to anything.
Oh, you can get psychologically addicted. It's like scientifically possible. A lot of people don't want to say that. But I've studied drugs because I'm a psych major and like I graduated and I had to take drug classes. You can get psychologically dependent on weed and addicted to weed. You won't have the physical, people would argue that you do have physical withdrawals, but you don't like scientifically technically have a physical dependency to weed, but you might feel differently when you get off of it. But yeah, for sure. I have talked with Nikki about this, and I don't know if I'm going to cut this out. So if I don't, you're getting a special piece of information that I'm deciding to divulge.
Ooh.
I don't ever talk about having smoked weed, smoking weed, indulging in weed. I've never talked about it on the internet.
Really?
I have never talked about it. Yeah, because I have, when I was 13, we had this special agent come to our school and basically tell me that your digital footprint will get you barred from, well, I mean, it's not incorrect, but get you barred from schools and work. So he always told me that this girl posted a beer at a party, or like was at a party and had a beer in her hand, and then Stanford rejected her. And so ever since that point, I have been so scared to talk about having ever smoked weed, allegedly smoking weed today, because not only is it only decriminalized in Hawaii, it's like legally, medically, and I'm actually in process of getting my medical card, but
oh,
I don't
nice
really talk
let's
about
go
it.
Wow,
I don't really talk about it.
That's interesting, because I'll be completely candid. There's an entire YouTube video that is on my channel, you can watch it. It's about Coco Melon. And the original concept for the video was getting high and watching Coco Melon. That's terrifying. That was the concept for the video, and that is what I did. However, I don't know why I did this. I was just feeling like weirdly self-conscious about it, but in the editing process, I cut out every single part that talks about me getting high.
Smoking.
So I'm actually high in the video, but like,
is it like very evident that you're high in the video?
Some people have said it's evident, but some people have thought that I've been high when I'm making other videos, and I haven't been. Like, that's the only video that I've ever made high.
That's honestly,
I didn't even advertise about it.
That's true. Like, I feel like if you post anything online where you have like really like good energy and just like la 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 la, like everybody wants to jump to like a conclusion that you're high for some reason, when it's like, you know, you have to be entertaining on the internet, right?
I want what he's smoking.
Exactly.
Whenever I'm on a, it's so funny because I'll get those comments and I always think they're so unintelligent, but at the same time, if you've never made content, I shouldn't just jump to that conclusion that you're unintelligent. But like it's just hard for me to understand why people don't understand that you're trying to aim for engagement. So it's very important to put on a certain whatever. People don't understand that people aren't who they are on the internet. But I will say the most shocking thing that I've gotten is when I'm on a live acting completely normal or quote unquote normal myself, and I'm like, you know, talking like how I am now, and people will be like, are you good? Are you on something? Are you on coke? And I'm like, babes, it's the autism. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm just being me.
I'm just, maybe it's because I'm neurodivergent that I'm shifting or like talking funny to you, but Christ Jesus, I'm not on drugs. I've never done, other than smoking weed, I have never done a drug. I've never done any other drug, like literally.
Yeah,
ever.
Me neither,
I mean,
actually.
Unless prescribed Ritalin, which is awesome. Prescribed Ritalin is great. Oh, I've done benzodiazepines prescribed. So like freaking Ativan, Xanax.
Prescribed?
Made me feel
go
normal.
Go for it.
So,
if you're prescribed it, I say go for it, you know?
I was prescribed meth.
Oh, okay.
I don't know
if
you guys...
Oh, are you on crystal meth right now?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Hey, so, cool.
Prescribed,
your,
of course.
Who's your, who's your physician?
Doctor...
You don't have to share that information. I'm just like, you know, I'm just wondering.
Oh, no, no. I'll tell you guys. Yeah. His name is Dr. Meth.
Oh, that's a wait. Really fitting name.
Yeah.
Dr.
It's kind
Meth.
Of a coincidence.
Okay.
Do you guys... how do you guys feel about drugs?
That's a rabbit hole. Okay. So the only drugs I've used ever in my life, and we'll, for the sake of this conversation, we will count alcohol as a drug because I think that's valid.
Okay.
Would be alcohol, weed, and, you know, like I've vaped before, you know what I mean? Like, okay. So, I speak for myself, but I think like everyone I knew that went to high school, like there was like that vape phase where everyone was like, oh, let me hit your vape kind of thing. You know, I really actually love using weed. I love it a lot. I think it helps me a lot and it's really great. I've always enjoyed my time using it. However, as much as I use it, which I don't use it nearly as frequently as I used to, I would never do anything more than weed. I considered shrooms at a point, but then I was like, I don't really know if I even want to do that. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm like fine just staying at the novice level.
What? Just a novice.
cocaine is intermediate, meth is advanced, and heroin is god tier.
Yeah.
You know what's also becoming just as prevalent as coke, I'm
what?
Noticing, is fucking ketamine.
Ketamine!
Ketamine! Ketamine, bruh!
Yes!
Everybody's doing ketamine, it's the new coke.
We're probably gonna be called, like, horrible, disgusting, awful names, like little babies and fart pants.
For saying, like, why the fuck are people doing that?
But I don't think it sounds so crazy to say, why the fuck are people doing so much ketamine? Okay, but it does help people. Like, one of my buddies, he works at a ketamine infusion clinic for patients with depression here in Brooklyn right now. which is like there's few of those popping up here and there. So I know that they have been discovering like new medical uses for it. However, yeah. In terms of recreational use, I don't know.
So, what does okay. What does ketamine do to you again?
I'm raising my hand like a student.
Oh, I yes. Anohea, please. Yeah.
So in my class on drugs, we learned about ketamine. We were told that it actually has a lot of medicinal benefits at a certain level. Ketamine can kill you. Police have used ketamine to kill people.
Actually, I have heard of that. Yes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's literally horse tranquilizer.
Yeah, it's horse tranquilizer. Oh, so what okay. it does, it basically, you know how certain anesthesias, I might be incorrect because I might be remembering this wrong, but certain anesthesias, they're not putting you to sleep. They are turning you off. That's why it's so dangerous. Essentially, when you have anesthesia, you're basically increasing GABA and you're cutting off the glutamate, I'm pretty sure. So you're GABA makes you go.
Increasing Gabby Hanna.
you're increasing Gabby
your
Hanna.
Your Gabby Hanna levels.
They're
your Gabby
rising.
Hanna levels are 10,000. So,
and
so.
As we all know, it is dangerous to get your Gabby Hanna level too yeah. high.
Yeah, what if I'm the monster?
So you're not, it's like a light switch. When they, that's why anesthesiologists get paid so much, because you can fucking die.
Yeah,
they're
it's like a 50-50.
They're turning you off. So
basically,
so ketamine,
do you
ketamine
just go
does
like,
something with your GABA.
Your Gabby.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure. But one thing I do want to say before we keep talking about drugs is, ultimately, want to call attention to drugs, the intersection between the prison industrial complex, the war on drugs. Hardcore disagree. So we're not discussing drugs on the premise of whether or not they should be legal. We need to decriminalize all drugs, yeah. in my opinion. And no, so yeah. we're just talking about the ethics of drugs.
By the way, fuck Ronald Reagan, and I hope that he's fucking literally getting his freaking. I hope he's stepping on sharp rocks and Legos in hell.
was Ronald Reagan the actor, or was that JFK?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan was the actor.
He was?
Yeah. He caused every problem in American society today.
Yeah, literally. Isn't there that clip, maybe it's Reagan or it's JFK, where the clip is like, marijuana is, quote, probably the most dangerous drug we have ever seen.
I don't know which
one of them said that, but it's like exactly that wording with your, it's,
that is
it's
so
probably
funny. It's also so funny because back in the day marijuana was less potent. It was basically nothing in the time that they were saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Marijuana today is like hyped up. Like we have bred it so heavily that now when you take it, you can be like in psychosis. But like
you can phase into your bed frame.
That has happened to me. That has happened to me. Like I've had like psychotic experiences because of too much THC before, and it's scary.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, this is like such an extreme subject switch, kind of, but like something that's been on my mind since 2 hours ago when I went on Twitter is that people are so fucking annoying. Like, people gave the new fucking Little Mermaid movie like a million dislikes, and it's like, shut the fuck up!
Did y'all see that someone literally took the time to edit her and make her a white person?
Yes. Are you fucking serious?
Like, straight up. And it looks like the most insane human being of all time. It doesn't even look like a real person.
Yeah, I'm ultimately very confused because, number one, we've known this for years. And I shouldn't be, like, obviously when things come to fruition, people are going to have a reaction once again. But people were making a bitch stink out of this, like, stink ass about this for, like, years, like, years ago.
3 years ago when they announced it, everybody was like, huh, what? Okay, like, why the fuck do these grown-ass people care so much about the Little Mermaid? The answer is they don't.
They don't care about the Little Mermaid. Also, the simple answer is racism. But, like, it just really frustrates... Simple answer is racism. ultimately, it's really frustrating to me because, okay, here's a personal story. Might sound weird because I'm the whitest Hawaiian alive. Actually, not true. I've seen whiter Hawaiians than me, but...
Epic win. Which
might be unbelievable, but...
What?
You're like, huh? No, but this might sound weird, but when Moana came out... So when Moana came out, first of all, the person who played her, she's a Hawaiian, Ali'i Carvalho. She's my classmate. She was my classmate. We graduated together.
Oh, shit.
And when that came out, I remember sitting in the theater with my mom, and my mom's the non-Hawaiian one, but I remember sitting in the theater with my mom, and the first opening, like, scene is of all these brown babies looking up at a, like, kupuna, like a grand person, grandmother or something, and she's telling them mo'olelo stories, and I remember sobbing, like, I sobbed, so it might sound weird because I'm white, but, like, seeing Hawaiian people on the screen not only was relatable to me, but it felt so euphoric. And so the fact that, and there's lots of problems with Moana, don't get me wrong, so many issues with that story, and with the way Disney did it. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because I'm seeing a lot of these really beautiful videos of children reacting to the trailer and seeing Little Mermaid being black and being so happy. And I just, like, I don't understand, because I can sympathize and empathize on a certain level being Hawaiian. Couching that with the fact that I've seen people who look like me on the screen since I was a baby. Mm. So not full empathizing. But the fact that people would see that and try to steal that joy from black children and black people is so fucking, like, disgusting. So fucking malicious. I'm speechless, but, like, it is the most disgusting thing to me.
Yeah, it is. And it's even worse, too, because I think there's two, I think, well, this is talked about a lot, like, especially in theater and casting and stuff, you know. There is a very big difference between, let's say you're doing, I don't know if you guys are familiar with a lot of shows or whatnot, but let's say you're doing a show like, let's say you're doing, like, Hairspray. Okay, mm-hmm. That's a show where half of the cast is white and half of the cast is black. For that, it's like, okay, this is, you're going to very specifically cast it this way because, like, you need proper representation to cast that show. So you mm-hmm. need a wide demographic. Now, it's one thing to do that. It is another thing, and possibly, I mean, 10 times as, I mean, both things are completely rewarding to see, but I think there's something to be said about casting someone in a role. Like, we don't have to say anything about it, right? Like, it's Ariel. She should be able to look however people want her to look. And I think it is so much more powerful to be able to cast someone, like a person of color, in that role and not have to say anything, not have to be like, oh, this is, you know, people will say, like, oh, why do we have to have, you know, black Ariel? It's like, no, it's just, it's Ariel.
Ariel.
And that's the best part about it, you know? Like, that is what we need to see more of. And that is something that is talked about, like, so much in film casting and, you know, stage casting alike.
Okay, also, like, racism aside, well, actually, racism included, because I think the racism is tied to this, but, like, I mean, every Disney live action thing pretty much, like, sucks ass. So it's fine to tear something a new asshole. I just hate that they're, like, attacking Ariel, because I think she should really be left out of it. But something so stupid that I've seen is, like, this movie doesn't even look like it's underwater. Like, what the fuck do you want them to do? You want them to fucking, you want her to, like,
train her to hold her breath and sing underwater?
I want her to have gills. I think it comes down to the fact that she doesn't have gills, and I think we need to get some gills.
Yeah.
installed.
installed. Something that Andy was talking about, and I don't want to overstep and start a conversation that definitely should have black people in the conversation. But I do want to bring it up because it kind of intersects with something I can speak about, which is the Moana film, and it is a Disney film, is you brought up Black people being featured in stories or being the center of a story for the story's sake, and that is so fucking important because, and I'm just going to use, like, Hawaiians as a lens because, again, sure. I don't think it's appropriate to speak over people within the community who want to speak about it. But what I want to say is something that really frustrated with me with Moana is that it is a conglomeration of every Polynesian culture that they visited within a 3-week period, which is colonizing behavior, first of all. Second of all of the traditions, they'll be like, that's the Hawaiian princess. Girlie, there are traditions from Tonga in there, from Samoa in there. Like, they threw it all together. And, might I add, why did it have to be a period piece? Why did it have to be, ancient? Because indigenous people are not fucking dead, dog. Like, we're not dead. We're alive. Hawaiians look so vastly different today. And so that was part of the thing that I wanted to say. And I can't really fully say that it was bad because ultimately the story wasn't about the pain that she suffered. And we see this a lot. With the treatment of Black people in Hollywood and media and stories is that we see so many, like, white people creating stories about Black pain, and that is, like, disgusting. So it's not a full relation, but I do genuinely agree with what Annie was saying when it's just so important to see representation, and not even representation, just Black people in media. Like, we need it. Like, I don't understand why people are so up in arms. Just in the realms of, like, not annotating our culture, shifting our culture and evolving culture in general. Art is so important, and there is nothing wrong with taking old stories and making them relevant and making space. Yeah. And that is what's so upsetting is that us, and I don't want to say fully us because I have this indigenous, like, background, but also I function as a white person in American society, so I will say us. White people, and it's so upsetting that we see a place that is being made space. There's space being made, and we want to close that door. That is the most malicious thing. Like, really, I don't know how else to put it. Like, how the fuck do you see space being made and you're getting angry? Space. And you're trying to fill it with you. Because you really cannot stand not being the center. And not, like, holy fuck. Like, you really think you're so different. Like, white people think they're so different and higher and more empowered and more just entirely other themselves from people of color that they cannot stand the fact that maybe they would be in a position to relate to a person of color on screen. Like, they've never had to be, like, we've never had to be in that position where, you know, we've had to relate ourselves to someone who doesn't look like us because we are always in the media. And that is just so sad to me. So anyway, that's my long-ass rant. my angry rant.
Absolutely.
There's always, like, it sucks. You know, it sucks also, especially feeling like the contradictions are endless. You know what I mean? It's like, you could, you know, we're talking about the new Little Mermaid movie that's happening in, you know, 2022. But, like, I remember this going all the way back to, like, you know, it's probably twice as much complaints about it now, which is even worse. But back when they made, like, the all Black cast of Annie movie, you know, it's like, if anything, we see the reception skyrocket in, like, such a negative way. And it just, I don't know, it's weird how time is supposed to heal itself, but as we've seen over, like, the past years, that it just gets worse. So we're all happy now, aren't we?
I just wanted to bring up, randomly, I saw the most random representation ever, like, that I was not expecting, for Mexican people in a movie called The Black Phone.
I watched The Black Phone recently. It was a very good film.
It's really good, right? And, very good. I was shocked and really pleased by the representation of the Mexican character in that movie, because literally it just reminded me of like growing up and everybody that I grew up with. Like, I was like, this is like a kid that I would have known. Like, this is some dude I would have went to school with. And that was like really cool. I was not expecting it at all. Like, I had no expectations. Like, I never have any expectations to see any Mexican people in movies. Like, I've just like given up on that idea. But and it was just nice, because like, I mean, as an adult now, I'm realizing too that like a lot of my issues like with my face and like with my body and stuff is like having to do with like only having seen like white people always, and just seeing one type of person. So it's just nice to see that happening now, because I've always thought like that I just looked like really weird, but really it's just because like I have features that are Mexican, so I'm just like, that's chill.
I'm so glad that you're like coming to that like realization within yourself, because I mean, I can always cut this out if it's too personal, but throughout our friendship, it's been so sad for me to hear you say that you look weird, or that you have like an odd face. You always say that to me, is that you look, you're different, you're weird. And I always felt so sad. So I'm like just glad that you're like going on this journey of like embracing yourself, because you're fucking stunning. And it always made me really sad. So I don't know, that just like really means a lot to me that you said that just now. I don't know. Aww. Just on a friendship level, not even just
that
on
was
a
beautiful
podcast
moment.
Level.
Aww. Wow.
What a beautiful moment. Well, look, this is the part where I'm supposed to be like, yeah, I felt really liberated when I watched the Diary of a Wimpy Kid movie to see, a scrawny young white child on the screen just like me. Like, come on.
I saw Harry Potter. I bring up the Harry Potter wound.
You know, I feel oh God, no.
Something that I and this transitions us into talking more about social media, kind of, but something that I always like to say on social media is, please don't be on social media if you cannot, one, have critical thought, but that's a very, very broad statement. Number two, and getting more detailed with it, is if you can't understand a power structure. Mm. If you can't understand what a power structure is, then do not make any opinions. Because if all of these white people on the internet bitching about Ariel or whatever it is, or my audience who bitches about me making jokes about men, for example, if they understood what a power structure is, they would then come to understand what it means for certain people to make certain jokes. And then they would understand how that translates in the, I'm trying to find like a word. For, like, the lexicon of media. What that means.
Ooh, juicy word. Nice.
They would just understand positionality and what it means and how things are or are not harmful. And that's something that's so fucking frustrating to me! Because it is so hard for people of color or women or anybody, queer people, to enter these spaces and make jokes or make media or even gain representation. And then people who do not understand, which is normally white people, cis men, whatever, straight people, not understand what it means to be in a position to create harm or to be in a position that will not create harm. So anyway, that just really is something that I wanted to bring up, because it gets us into talking about making jokes on the internet. So.
No, yeah, I mean, that's always like a, you know, I think that's especially like important for people like me to hear, you know, fitting all of those categories. And it's like, I think there's an issue with that, because it's like, for a lot of people like me, there's an unwillingness to listen. I feel like a lot of times it's more of like a smile and nod rather than an actual, you know, absorption of knowledge. And it's weird, because I think it's kind of cool to be able to come on this podcast and talk about stuff like this, because, you know, I'm sure you've noticed, but like, I would consider myself to be in like the commentary field now, but I'm not really talking about, you know, really political or social topics, you know, just because that's, you know, nothing wrong with that. You know, it's just never what I have done. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's nice to be able to kind of like, I guess, express kind of some of the ways, because people never come to me for that type of stuff. You know what I mean? People are coming to me to, you know, be, I'm on my real hater shit. Like, I'm just,
real hater shit.
Some guy doing something weird on a TV show, but it's like, it's not often that I really get to kind of have these conversations, but yeah.
Wait, yeah. Andy, you're white? You're white and you're a man? Oh my God.
Wow.
Who even let you exist?
Something that you said that is also something I always have to keep in mind. So the reason I bring this up also is because I'm in a unique position when it comes to my identity and how to make jokes from that. Because yes, I'm an Indigenous person. Yes, I'm Hawaiian. Would it be fucking appropriate for me to go on the internet and start making jokes that tease Hawaiians? No. It wouldn't, because you know why? I have an intersectional identity with whiteness. And that is something I've had to learn over time, because when I was a kid, I didn't understand that at all. Like, I mean, I did understand it, but to a different degree. Like, I just thought, oh, well, I'm Hawaiian. I can make all kind jokes I want or whatever. No! There are intersections of your identity. It's like, oh, another thing is like, I don't know. I was gonna bring up bisexuals, but I'm not even gonna hit that, because then bisexuals are gonna be upset. So we're not even talking about it. But anyway, it's a really important thing when you're moving into commentary spaces or literally any type of media space to fully understand your intersectional identity so that you create the safest space possible. You know?
Yeah.
So Andy, what was it like growing up being known as Greg Heffley?
You know, it was pretty cool. I had this, I was in middle school. I was a late bloomer. This is like, this is completely unrelated to the question you just asked, but I'm saying it anyway. But it like, kind of is related at the same time, like vibe wise. So I, you know, I hit puberty pretty late. So I was a little bit, I looked a lot different when I was younger. I lost a lot of weight as I grew older. But when I was in middle school, early high school, I had this dry fit Under Armour t-shirt. It was all white. And there was a tennis ball on it in the bottom corner. And he was like beat up in bandages. And he was like on crutches, implying that when I get on that tennis court, I'd be beating up that tennis ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Of course.
And I thought I was super cool for wearing it. And people would always tell me that they could see my nipples through it. So the reason I told that story was because I feel like it had like Diary of a Wimpy Kid energy.
It does.
So yeah. I hope that answers your question.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Okay. As a TikToker or a TikTok person, I always wonder, how is the transition between making short form content and making long form content? And how do you feel about it?
You want my really like honest, candid opinion?
Yep.
Okay. All right. This is going to be for everyone who's on TikTok right now. So
say a cuss.
Everyone listen out. Everyone listen up. Okay. So you can have 50,000 followers on TikTok. You can have over 1 million followers on TikTok. Okay. Something you need to understand is that those followers, in some rare cases, may be your audience, but in most cases, this is not an audience. Okay.
Because
everyone, I feel like everyone feels this way and kind of has to have this realization. That follower count gives you a better chance of being seen by the app's pre-made system. Okay. That is not an audience. And a lot of times the reason that people have trouble transitioning from a large platform is because either A, they don't know how to do it, and they think, oh, because I was here on, you know, famous on TikTok, I can make it on YouTube, which is true, because I very much think that my success on TikTok was a proof of concept that if I was as popular as I was there, that I can do the same thing on any platform. I think that's true of anyone if you know what you're doing and if you know how to put the work into it. So to that, I would say, figure out what you know how to do. And then, you know, if you feel like, because I think to answer more of the question, I felt like for such a long time, I had such a higher capacity in like creatively for what I was doing. And, you know, the character gets stale. I got tired of doing it. You know, that's no surprise to anyone. You know, it happens to anyone who does like character comedy for a really long time. But yeah, I mean, it was rough at first. And I think it was weird kind of seeing such big numbers on TikTok and then seeing small numbers on YouTube, which is still the case. But it's been good. And I've been seeing it grow. And I've been seeing a lot more people reaching out about the YouTube stuff specifically. But yeah, I mean, I feel like in a cool way, I'm just sort of starting over.
That's so rewarding.
Like a fun way to look at it. I feel like I can completely separate myself from everything that I was doing before and kind of just start on something new that I have so much more fun doing and feel so much more passionate about.
That's honestly how I feel as well.
Yeah, Nikki, explain.
And, well, actually, I don't have anything further to add to that right now, but I did want to say... I saw that you did a YouTube video about chiropractors that are creepy, and I wanted to tell you that I was literally gonna make a video about this one chiropractic page that I found, but it got deleted. So lucky for him, because I was about to freaking tear him a new asshole. But you want to know what the page was called?
What?
Yeah,
it was called Chiropractic Farts, and it was so strange. And I still have like one or two of these videos saved in my phone. But basically what it was you noticed how, like, the thumbnails were creepy about the chiropractors, right? Like, I started watching your video, and, like, that was, like, one of the things that was, like, what the fuck is this? But there was this whole page where literally, you know, of course there was the yoga pants butt in the thumbnail before the cracking. There was, like, the, you know, kind of a little lewd thumbnail going on. But then when it came
the softcore.
Yes. And when it came to the cracking time of the TikTok, there would be this huge, this climax. There'd be this huge, like, obviously edited in fart on all of them. And then they would have no reaction. Like, obviously it was edited in, but everyone in the comments would, like, eat it up. They were like, oh my God. And they had no reaction. LOL. But the numbers and the comments would not add up. So I literally know for a fact this was, like, hitting the fart fetish community, like, hard. Ew. But imagine you're just a woman who just went to go get a little innocent back cracking. And then your video ends up on the internet with 1 million views with a huge fart edited into it that everybody believes for some reason. No, it's a little funny, but it's like stupid.
You would consent to being filmed? Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. Now, hold on. Hear me out. Would you consent to sound effects being added? Yeah, no problem.
Exactly.
No problem. It's like, okay, but it's like, no, I don't need to hear anything else. That's all good. Just go ahead. Do your thing. Yeah, that would be the fucking worst. That would be the worst.
Evil. Fuck chiropractors, though.
Yeah, they suck. They're really creepy.
It's literally a pseudoscience, so fuck chiropractors.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Nikki, you're going to say something.
I literally have been debating for weeks if I could still somehow construct a video about this, and then had ultimately, like, given up, just because I only had two videos saved and, like, a screenshot of the page, and that was all that was left, but who knows, maybe that's all you need.
Oh, sorry. No, I mean, the way I do those videos, like, that video was entirely unwritten. There were no written bits to that video. So that was just me literally.
Good job, by the way, then.
Thank you. I mean, that was just me looking up chiropractor videos on TikTok and being like, okay, this one looks interesting. But, I mean, it's honestly, I would say just do that. You know, there is so much stuff. There is so much weird stuff. Like, there is stuff that I was, like, scared to show. Like, there were clips from that I didn't put in because I was like, this is just inappropriate.
Okay, serious question. Would I get demonetized? Do you think I would get demonetized for showing this video? Because I found, like, 3 or 4 clips of this page yesterday that I really want to do a video about. And it has to do with, like, a toilet product. And they, like, put, like, fake, like brown water on their hand, and I'm wondering if I'm gonna get demonetized for it being like poo-poo.
No,
because they're showing what it is in the video, so they'll know that it's not poop. But if you put it in the thumbnail, like my I got limited ads running on my chiropractor video for a bit because I literally, like, the thumbnail is like this chiropractor working on this woman and she's like straddling the table.
God
Well, another thing you could do, Nikki, is talk about, like, if you don't have enough, like, chiropractor footage from that one thing, you can talk about how chiropracting is literal pseudoscience and talk about just, like, chiropractors, like, the thing on TikTok. There's so much things. And there's so many ex-chiropractors who literally all their TikToks are about are debunking chiropracting. Which they've studied for years and years.
You should look into the founding of, like, chiropractors, because someone left a comment saying something about, like, the founder of, like, chiropractic, whatever it is. It, like, he, like, heard it from a ghost or something, or, like, it came to him in a dream.
What? It came to me in a dream.
Yeah, chiropraction sounds like the Mormonism, like, what Mormonism is to Christianity, chiropracting sounds to science or doctors. Not that Christianity is correct, but it just sounds like the equivalent.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It looks like it feels great.
And it does.
Oh, it feels good, dude. Let me tell you, I got in a car accident like 2 years ago, and I went to the chiropractor, and they cracked my neck like you know those violent cracks that you see online where it's like, did their neck break?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That happened to me, and oh, it's so good. But I'm sure it's, like, terrible for you, actually.
I went to an incremental, like, neck chiropractor. So this was in Ashland, Oregon, and Ashland, Oregon is the fuckiest place to get anything done because they're fuckiest? All spiritual rah-rah. They're spiritual white rah-rah people. So, like, think anti-vaxxers, fucking crystal healing type bitches. Like, I'm serious. And they're white. They have no cultural ties to these things. Anyway, I went to this chiropractor there. What I will say is I thought it was a little bit of bullshit because they were just tiny realignments in my neck to fix the back. So I thought that's bullshit. But I will say when they would realign my back, they were like, hey, make sure you go home and like sleep like this because your spine might be a little sore for the next few days and you might feel like spiritually open. I will say, like, not even fucking with you, I actually did have pain in my back for maybe like a couple days. So I could tell they were realigning whatever it was, but it's not going to help my fucking migraines.
Right.
Like, it's hormonal, bitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, chiropractors are just like, I can fix your parents' dead marriage with me cracking your back, actually. And I'm like, bullshit. Anyway.
Since we're heading towards the conclusion of this podcast, we forgot to do I wanted to bring up that we forgot to do the thing that we're supposed to do, and that is ask Andy how his week is doing. So
fuck yeah, we did.
How is your week?
How is my week doing so far?
Yeah.
it's pretty good. I finished writing a big project yesterday, so that was awesome. Ooh. I did something today, well, that I was telling you guys about earlier, but I guess I shouldn't really talk about online until it's, like, a real thing, but that was pretty cool.
I'm peeing in your plants.
Yeah, I was peeing in my plants. I'm doing a third installment of this Spider-Man radio drama series that I've been doing for the past few months. Cool. So that's pretty fun. I'm having a pretty good week so far, quite honestly. I got an improv show tonight.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Oh, I wish
I'm
I was
excited.
In New York. That's so cool.
I know. We'll all meet up soon.
That would be so
fun. Awesome. Is there anything that you want to like plug before we make you do our outro because we're lazy?
I mean, go subscribe to the YouTube, Andy King. I'll be posting some new videos for you every week. I guess I should give people my current sponsorship code. If you're interested in buying some cool clothing, you can go to shirts.cool. Company is Cool Shirts. You can use my code MUD for 10% off.
Yes.
So that's my current sellout plan. But
awesome.
That's great. That, we love selling out.
We're vibing
well,
so hard.
As soon as we can get a Cool Shirts ad on this podcast, you best believe you guys are going to hear about the word. That is the word of Cool Shirts.
The word.
So So why don't you guys go get some shirts and support Andy, and
also
get some shirts so that, yeah.
I feel like you could do a really good impression of Morty from Rick and Morty.
I probably could, but it's like, it's, I get that comment so much that I, like, even if I tried to, if I was all alone, like, in my apartment right now, I still probably wouldn't even try it because I would I literally get embarrassed when I do things. It seems crazy considering what I've done online, but, like, I get so easily, like, embarrassed by myself. Aw, you're such a little, what is it? What is
you're
it like?
Such a little Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Aw, that's my little beta. Is that what people say?
Beta? Little beta. Yeah, get yourself some shirts so that you'll have things to put away to clean your room. Speaking of cleaning your room, Andy, we need you to do part of the outro, which is we need you to tell our audience here at the Junk Drawer Studio to clean their room in your own special way. You can do it in any way you want.
Okay, guys, every day when I wake up, I always start by doing one thing. Before I shower, before I get dressed, before I do anything. I could be naked. I get out of bed, and I make my bed. And I make my bed a very specific way. Tight tuck, okay? No wrinkles, nothing like that. I'm telling you guys, no matter how dirty your room is, a clean bed is a happy bed. A clean bed is a surefire way to improve your mental health for the day. 25%. And I will stand by that. A clean bed, if anything, is what you need. Because the rest follows. Once you clear off the bed, you know you got to organize everything else. And then you got yourself a crisp room. That's how it's done, folks.
Nice. Thank you so
that
much.
That was very nice. Military style bed. Let's see
military
that.
Military style.
No wrinkles. Give me 50 push-ups.
Yeah, give me 50 push-ups.
Okay, pretend like I'm doing push-ups right now.
Andy's doing push-ups right now, and they're, like, so, like, manly.
Yeah, I'm already about to hit 50, 48, 49.
His pecs are growing!
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
I'm at 60, 70,
oh my God,
80, 90!
Oh, my God, he exploded.
I'm done.
Okay, we love you, Junk Drawer listeners. Clean your fucking room!
Clean
I love
guys.
You so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Bye!
Thanks
Bye.
For coming. Bye!
Bye.